Are you looking for a space where you will learn to improve your mental strength, emotional health, and heal your insecurities from the inside out? Take the first step to living a more meaningful life with the Better Me with Body by Bree podcast. I'm your host, Bree. I'm a certified personal trainer, entrepreneur, and mother of three. I've helped empower thousands of women to take action through fitness, nutrition, meditation, personal development, and aligning thoughts with action. This podcast is for those who are ready to feel inspired and motivated to live a more purposeful life. Let's grow together. Welcome to the podcast. In today's episode, I speak with Jamie Gordon, a life coach who calls herself the Unstuckologist. Today, we talk all about your specific Enneagram number and how it can help you understand yourself better as well as deepen your relationships. We will discuss the basic motivators and fears of each type and how it can help you overcome your own weaknesses to become more confident and successful in your life. By knowing my Enneagram number and looking for potential fears that I have, I'm able to understand why I think the way I do and how to become better. If you are new to Enneagrams, this episode is for you. Let's meet Jamie. And welcome to the Better Me podcast. And today we have a very special guest, Jamie Gordon. She is a transformational life coach. She does really hilarious Enneagram skits. And she loves to help people get unstuck. She calls herself the Unstuckologist. Welcome to the podcast, Jamie. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited that you decided to come on the podcast because you are hilarious. Your Enneagram skits are so funny and so creative. I love them so much.
Oh, thank you so much. They're actually a lot of fun to make. Always a mess that I make, but so fun.
So if you guys don't know what your Enneagram number is, I'm going to have Jamie explain what it is and why it might be helpful to know.
Yep. So the Enneagram is just a personality model. It's actually been around forever, but just recently regained popularity. And the basic premise of the Enneagram model is that there are nine basic personality types. And each of those nine types have a basic motivating factor and the greatest fear. So each nine is actually divided into other subcategories, but we won't even go into that. I'm just going to tell you what the nine personalities are. And maybe you'll figure out which number you are.
So I loved learning about Enneagrams because I had heard the concept of the Enneagrams and I had taken the test like years ago, but I never actually applied it or studied it. And when I saw your skit, I was like, oh my gosh, she is dead on with my personality every single time. I'm the seven. So when you were like cannonballing off of the boat, I was just laughing because that is totally my personality. So you were so spot on that I was like, I want to learn more about this and I want my husband to take it so that I can kind of work with his personality more and know kind of like what makes him tick and what motivates him and drives him and what his weaknesses are or, you know, his fears. So anyway, I started researching it. I had him take the test and he was an eight, which helped our relationship so much because I found out that eights, when they're stressed, they kind of retreat and they want to be alone and they don't want to talk about it and they want to just kind of process on their own. And when Adam would have a hard day, I was like, talk to me. Why are you having a hard day? What's wrong? Why are you, you know, and I was like being so annoying to him. But that now I know that that's just how he processes. And that's just like, he just needs alone time. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's just his personality. And now I don't get, you know, take it personal for me. Like, it has helped our relationship so much. And it's also helped me understand myself so much so that I kind of know, you know, what my strengths and my weaknesses are. And, oh, you know, maybe sevens are super creative, but I have to work a little harder at being organized, you know? So it's honestly like, changed everything for me. And it's really fun to do it with your friends because then your friends are able to, like, I'm able to be like, oh, well, she's a two, and to feel, you know, loved or needed, she needs this. And, you know, this friend, okay, she needs a little more control, and that's okay. And it's really helped me navigate my friendships too. So, anyway, really excited for you guys to learn the 9. So do you want to go through each of them?
Yeah, I'd love to. Okay, so the type 1 is referred to as the reformer or the perfectionist. And their greatest desire is to be good. And not just like good, but like perfect. And for them, the greatest fear is to be not perfect. And to be not perfect is basically evil or corrupt in their eyes. So the strength of a 1 is that they're going to work really hard and they're always going to put their best out there. The weaknesses of a 1, sometimes it ends up in resentment because they are so hard on themselves and they hold the same standards to others as they hold to themselves. And so there's a like a breeding ground for resentment because perfection doesn't actually exist. So that's really helpful to know with dealing with a 1. The type 2.
And can they, sorry, I'm going to ask questions as you go.
Absolutely.
So since they hold themselves to such a high standard and they hold other people to such a high standard, then that's where they get frustrated with others because it's like, you know, why can't you do this right?
Yeah, it's like this is – to them it's reasonable.
Right.
Their standard is reasonable versus the standard being maybe not necessarily needed. Right. So you think about just loading the dishwasher. A type 1 is probably going to rinse the food off of the plate and put it in a specific space because it'll be the most, it'll be the right way to do it. Right. And to somebody else, it's just like, hey, the dishwasher's job is to actually clean the dishes. So there can be conflict there because one person sees it as actually wrong. And not only like that, that's wrong, but they internalize it as I'm wrong. So the 1 can deal with a lot of shame because they internalize like what they've done with who they are.
Got it. So helpful. Okay, 2.
So the 2 is the helper, and they really are motivated by this need to be loved and also to be needed. And the 2s are, they're the friend that is the glue, right? They're the ones that know everybody's birthday. They know if your mom had knee surgery last Tuesday. They're the people that show up with the meal and they're like, how'd they even know that I was sick? They just like intuit people's needs. And it's a beautiful gift that they have. Where their weaknesses are is that they don't like, or I should tell you the fear. The fear is actually being unloved or unwanted. And so for them, they love other people, but sometimes they love other people with an expectation that then the needs for themselves will be met. So they'll kind of like, I'm going to give you the most amazing birthday present. And it may not register like in their conscious mind, but when they receive a less thoughtful gift on their birthday, they might feel unloved and trigger a very deep fear for themselves.
Right. That's so interesting. Like it's almost as you go through, you know, the type of people, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and those are.
And the 2 is the one that you might hear some passive aggressive complaints about, well, I did this for them and they don't show up to me in that same way.
Right.
So it's for the 2, it's knowing like, oh, I actually do have needs and I can ask for my needs to be filled. But for a 2, it's like even registering that they have their own need feels bad.
Yes. Okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah. So the type 3 is the performer or the achiever. Now they're really motivated to be like a success and be admired. They really want to look good. And for them, they equate like how worthy they are by how much they produce, how much they do, which gives them a really great strength in like productivity. But that all is driven by this fear of not having value apart from their achievements and just basically being unworthy. So like where they struggle is they produce. And if they don't produce, then they start to feel like this was a garbage day. I'm a garbage human. Instead of being like, oh no, who I am is me and that's enough. And I also do things. For them,
yes.
In general, it's kind of reversed. I do things, therefore I'm enough. Instead of I am enough and from my enoughness, I can do things.
Ooh, I love that. It's interesting because I've like my brother, that was the first thing that came to mind was my brother was a 3. And when he took it, he was like, oh yeah, that's dead on. That's me. So for his birthday, everybody always says, like, we always say what we love about each other for our birthday. And everyone always says, like, you're the hardest worker. You know, you're determined. You get everything done you put your mind to. But I read that to really feel loved, they want to be like complimented for not what they do, but who they are. Mm-hmm. And so I told him, I'm like, hey, I love you not for what you do, but I love you because you're funny and, you know, you have a kind heart. And I was complimenting that. And he was like, wow, that made me feel so good. So like, just because I kind of read like what he needed to feel loved, and it worked, and it was a really cool thing.
Yeah. You get access to the internal world of a different personality. You know, we walk around with our own, you know, goggles on, and say mine are blue and yours are yellow, and we look at the world completely different. And then when I get to actually see what it looks like from your eyeballs, then I can speak to that, which is really a gift.
Yes, it is. That's what I've been finding with my, like, even my assistants. I'm like, oh, I understand why you think that way. And this is how I can make you feel secure. You know, it's the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's a great way to get yourself unhooked from thinking it's about you or that they're a judgment towards them, instead of being like, oh, it occurs to them different. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So type four.
Yep.
We have the individualist or the romantic. They are motivated to be uniquely significant. In fact, their greatest fear is to have no identity or significance. And because they have this great need to be different and unique, there's this great sense of longing that they have. They never quite feel like they fit in, like they're part of the group, like there's something fundamentally lacking from themselves. And really, I think it's part of like their gifting. They have such a creative mind that they can imagine the most beautiful thing, and the picture in their mind never meets up with reality. And so for a four, their journey is to work to a place of acceptance instead of being in a place of disappointment. And being able to like, oh no, oh, this is just like what is perfect. Instead mm-hmm. of like, oh, I really was dreaming about my wedding day forever since I was little. And then it just didn't measure up to my picture in my head. That's what I hear from a lot of fours, is that it was like, yeah, it never lives up to what I, but when they move towards acceptance and surrender to what is, and because it's happening, then it's perfect. They really can enjoy, like have this piece of joy and contentment that is really, I think, kind of like the journey of a four.
Mm-hmm. And are they usually like the artistic, creative?
Yes. Because if you think about like the ability that you can feel sadness, like the depth that you can feel sadness is the depth that you can feel happiness. So you think about creativity, it works both ways. The creativity to be some of like the most game-changing artists in the world, their mind is so creative towards these wonderful masterpieces. It's also creative towards some really awful emotional places. So, but it's like they're comfortable in the depth, which is beautiful because it opens up the world where we get some really great, beautiful things in the world because of force.
I wonder if that's, I mean, this is kind of a tangent, but I'm just curious. I wonder if that's why like so many actors who are really creative also struggle with like depression and like these dark thoughts, because they can go both ways.
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's people that you're like, their genius is so magnificent, but there, with every gift, there's an equal wounding. Right. So, you know, it's just the balance of it.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So five.
The five is the investigator or the observer. They're motivated to be competent. They want to master, like mastery is really like their jam, and they really want to understand everything. And they have a high need for independence. So they will learn things. They have great analytical minds, and they can be really objective because they like to observe all the different points of view. They fear being helpless, incapable, and incompetent. To them, to not have the answer and to look stupid feels like death. And the fives are actually have a low emotional tank. meaning that they tend to think their feelings versus feel their feelings, and they generally are introverted. So much so that they may enjoy going out to dinner with friends, but then they need to like recharge hard, and they may not even be fully present while out with friends.
Right.
So like having a friend that's a five and you go on a girl's trip and she bails out halfway through the day for a couple hours, like it's just because she's done. She needs to go recharge the batteries. It's not personal. She's having a good time. But in order for her to have a good time, it means she has to go recharge.
See, that's so good to know, especially for girls, because I feel like they'd be like, what the heck? Where did my friend go? Why isn't she having fun? And if you understand why, then you're okay.
Yeah.
So I love
you can
that.
Offer all sorts of grace.
Yes. I love that. Okay. Six,
the loyalist. They are motivated by a need to be secure, have support and guidance. They have a very, very high need for certainty. We all have a need for certainty, but theirs is very high. They fear being without support and guidance, like being unable to survive alone, is a great fear. So they tend to, not everybody, there's actually a subtype of the six that doesn't feel a whole lot of fear and anxiety, but in general, the sixes deal with anxiety because their brain is always looking for, if this happens, then this, right? They want to think through every option. Mm-hmm. They want to have plan B, C, and D, right? They're the friend that has jumper cables in their trunk. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, do you have Advil? They got it in their purse because right. They are thinking through all the possible scenarios, which is great. They're your ride or die friend. They're loyal mm-hmm. almost to a fault until they get to a breaking point, and then they'll just say, see you later, alligator. How you can help your type six friend when you see them spinning in the anxiety is you can just ask them, hey, what do you need to trust this situation, and help chunk it down for them. And then they'll be able to, instead of like, I know it's especially girls, we like to try to fix, not like our husbands fix, right? But yes. As far as like it seems like we just go, oh, you're going to be fine. And you could do this and you could do that. And we want to like make our friends feel better. But to help a six, asking them, what do you need in order to trust, and let them come up with that place, it actually begins to establish self-trust, which is really where this all comes down to.
That is a great advice. Because that could also help with your spouse too.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people want to fix their spouse. So I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. So the seven is the enthusiast, and they are motivated to be happy, satisfied, and content. They fear being trapped in pain and being deprived. Does that resonate, seven?
Yep. That's me.
So I like to call sevens joy bombs. They just are charismatic. They are, inspirational and optimistic leaders. They're great at spotting patterns, and they're just innovative, and they come up with new ideas all the time, which is a lot of fun. The drawback, or like the weaknesses, is that sometimes they don't follow through. They can be a little bit irresponsible because they don't want to be with the hard, tough stuff. A lot of distractions come up for a seven, and that can make it frustrating for people around them. So the seven generally is unaware of the impact that has on their friends and family. So for a seven to check in and just ask like, hey, can you offer me some feedback? Which I'm sure feels like death to a seven. and I think the word of encouragement for a seven is that you can grow and mature, my husband's a seven, and I've seen him grow in massive, massive strides. He's actually super organized and punctual and all those good things. And for a seven to realize you don't lose who you are by growing in the areas that aren't necessarily your strengths up until now. Like you can still keep your spirit. Cause I think some of the fear is I'm going to lose my me factor. If I have to, you know, do laundry instead of go be with my friends, if I have to show up here or eat this or budget, any of those things that feel like maybe being tied down, just reframing it, like by me doing this, it actually frees me to do X, Y, and Z.
That is like, I needed to hear that, Jamie, because I was just talking to my friend and I was like, telling her, like, why do I love food so much? Like, why is that so hard for me? You know, because I was mm-hmm. telling her, like, if I'm with a group of friends and I'm not eating the fun food, in my mind, I'm not having fun. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, I need to have fun with everybody. Like, it's just mm-hmm. like a weird need to have fun. I don't know why.
Well, it's the feeling of being deprived.
Yes.
Right.
That is it. That is it. Yes.
And so you can just challenge the thought, like, am I actually being deprived right now? And like, if this wasn't deprivation, what could this be? Like, well, this could be actually freeing me to have a different fun experience. Or is this food fun? You can reframe it. Actually, this food isn't fun. It makes me feel sluggish, or it mm-hmm. hurts my belly, or right. There's other options, ways to look at it that shift the thought, which will shift the emotion, which will shift the action.
Yes. I love that. That was so helpful for me. Thank you. Absolutely. Look, she's already life coaching right now. You're so good, Jamie.
Oh, thanks. Okay, the 8.
Oh, wait. I wanted to say one more thing on the 7, just because I know it so well. So I follow a couple of other like Enneagram Instagrams too that are like just really fun to understand. And they were saying that the 7, what was it? Oh, 7s in relationships. And I thought this was so interesting. It said like, reminder, it's okay if it's not always perfect. Or like, and fun and happy and upbeat. Like, you'll have ebbs and flows in a relationship. And I read it to my husband and he just started laughing because I'm like, you know, I noticed that as a 7, I want everything to be happy and upbeat all the time, including my relationship and our marriage and life and like all this COVID stuff. You know, I'm like, nope, I don't want to read about it. I don't want to see it. I don't, I'm just going to be in my bubble and I'm just going to be happy with my kids and we're going to pretend like it's not happening.
Mm-hmm. And there's some beautiful gifts that come from that, right? Like the silver lining thing is actually great. And a lot of like, we benefit from being around 7s who can like turn anything into, you know, a beautiful experience, right? But the need for a 7 that like everything needs to be summer all the time, when really life calls us to seasons. And if everything is always fun and good and bright and light, like we miss out on some of the depth of it, like the intimacy requires, right?
For sure.
Intimacy requires that we step into the things that we normally would resist because they're uncomfortable or they don't feel fun, but actually produce more joy down the road. It's like that short-term pain, long-term gain.
Yes. And I do not like, that was one thing I've been really working on is just, you know, being really good at communicating and talking about the hard stuff. And anyway, that's so helpful. I think, see, it's good to know. It's good to know your strengths and your fears.
It's a journey for every number.
It is, for sure.
It's just the motivation is a little bit different.
Yes. All right, 8.
The 8 is the challenger, and they are motivated to be self-protected and in control. And so for them, like the fear is like being vulnerable, violated, in harm's way or being controlled. And so the strength of a 7 is that they can be great champions, cheerleaders, protectors, advocates, and they can be dynamic leaders. They're super honest and bold. So like if you have an 8 friend and she's just blunt, like that's awesome. You know exactly where you stand with her. Like there's no like her telling, you know, your friend behind your back. She'll just tell you straight up like, hey, that was rude what you just did. And to her, that's loving, not mean or rude. That's just how it occurs to her. Like she leads with strength. Now it can get out of balance where it turns into like bulldozing and barking and kind of being throwing her weight around. But we all have like healthy sides and unhealthy sides. Mm-hmm. So for an 8 can really learn to be vulnerable and learn to share responsibilities and like the way you can connect with an 8 is letting them know that you care about them and that you are loyal. And sometimes what turns off 8s is if you're a pushover. So if you have an 8 friend, their voice is probably louder than your other friends. And if you can meet her energy and let her know that you're a safe place for her, because they read pushovers as dangerous. And if you can tell them that, like, hey, I'm a safe space and I can hold all your power and you can be vulnerable with me, it's amazing when an 8 lets you in, because they are actually squishy beanie babies inside, like hard exterior, squishy beanie baby inside. I love
you. Yes. Yes. That's my husband. And when I was reading that it was hard to be vulnerable, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is your thing. This is hard for you. He's like, yes, I feel so seen.
Absolutely. So the nine is the peacemaker, and they really want no conflict. They want peace. They want inner peace. They want outer peace. They don't want the resistance. And where they get tripped up is when there's conflict. Life requires conflict. And the nine there's like every number has a nickname. And the nine's nickname is sloth. Not because they're actually lazy, but because they're can almost like fall asleep to their own desires. And so they may take a really long time to move on decisions because they kind of grew up with this message that they don't really matter. And so they basically learn to turn off their own desires and observe everybody else. Now, the strength of a 9 is they can look around and they can see everybody's viewpoint, and they're great moderators. They are the person when you go order dinner at a restaurant and somebody got their order wrong, the waiter's not kind of refilling the water. Like, that's the friend that goes like, oh man, look, she's got 8 tables. She must be so busy, and like talks you down off of the cliff.
Mm-hmm. That's my dad. And it drives my mom nuts because he's so slow.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody loves him because he's the peacemaker. Everyone loves my dad, but he's like the slowest human on earth.
Yes. Now, and how you can help your 9 friends or your dad is invite them into getting in touch with their own desires, which might be a slow process, but how you can help is just ask them, hey, where do you want to go to dinner? You're going to get, I don't care, because they don't care.
Yes, every time.
And you can say, well, if you did care, would you like to have Chinese or Italian? Like, give them 2 options and then require them to make the choice. And they may go, actually, I don't want either of those. See, like, they don't know until maybe after the fact what they want, because they've trained themselves to not be aware. So you can go, okay, well, would you like, you know, sushi or pizza? Right? You can give them 2 more options, but letting them step into that decision-making process. And you can just, like, if you push a 9, though, they're going to be stubborn. They're going to put their heels down, and they will kind of be passive-aggressively slow.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, because they're actually angry, but they don't know they're angry. So it comes out sideways.
Okay, that is so funny, because my mom always says, your dad won't ever do anything he truly doesn't want to do. Like, if he really doesn't want to do it, there's no, like, making him do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. That's so funny. Okay, so now we know all of the Enneagram types. I wanted to ask you, can you kind of explain how there is like a balanced 9 or a healthy 9 and unhealthy 9? Like, what does that mean if there's a healthy one and an unhealthy one, just generally?
Yeah. So each number, there is varying degrees of health. And there's kind of like, and if you, in fact, if your listeners want to just like hop on Enneagram Institute, it actually will show you what your number looks like in unhealth and health. There's different like numbers. So a healthy 9, so I'm going to just explain. When we are in stress, we actually move to the unhealthy side of a different number. And when we are in growth, we move to the healthy side of a different number. Sounds confusing, but I'll explain it. So let's say a 9, when they are in stress, they'll move to the unhealthy side of a 6, which is somebody who's very anxious. So they actually turn from this great ability to be gray thinkers and think very like creatively to very rigid black and white thinking of anxiety of a 6. But in health and in growth, they actually move to the healthy side of a 3, which is like an authentic person that is also very productive. So they move from like the sloth being disengaged to very engaged and productive. Do you want to hear all of the numbers or do you want to just hear a few?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Do you have a book that people could kind of like learn about, you know, about more in depth?
Absolutely.
About each number?
Yes. So I love the book, The Road Back to You by Ian Cron. And the Audible book, the author reads it and he's got a good reading voice, which I think makes or breaks an Audible book.
Yes.
I think that one is a really great one because it gives practical examples and it's light. It's an easy read. And it's not like super academic. And it talks a little bit about, you know, the personality traits, what they look like healthy, what they look like unhealthy, and what triad they're in. And so it's a great little like overview.
Awesome. I love that. And then they can also follow your Instagram because you do some really good information on there as well and really funny skits. So where should they take the test? I've only taken the Truity Enneagram test, but is mm-hmm. there one that you like the best?
Well, I think like there's a couple ways you could go about it. I think reading the book and whatever one that the chapter is on and you feel exposed and like, ugh, that's probably your number because our ego gets triggered by that one that feels exposing. And that's probably a really good indicator that that's your number. The faster way is to just hop on and do, you can either like Google like two or three free tests and you can compare, or you can get on Enneagram Institute has a pretty good test. I will say with all of them, ignore the wing diagnosis. Because
I was going to just ask about that, about the wings.
Yes, because your wing is actually, if you think about like a bird, like the body of the bird is your primary number. And so your wing would be to the right or to the left of your number. And the way that the tests are set up is just giving you kind of like your secondary number as your wing instead of your actual wing. So like I'm a 9. And on the diagram, 9 is next to 8 and 1. So those are my two choices for wings. It's the personality to the right or left that I can easily pull from. So I'm a 9 with a wing 1. So I'm a 9 with, I can pull from like the perfectionist reformer side.
Mm-hmm. So it always has to be the ones right next to each other?
Yes.
Because what if I'm a 7, but when you speak of a 3, a lot of that sounds like me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing is you will have, you're all of them, right? You're going to have a primary number. The goal is to actually be able to integrate all of these into you. And generally speaking, you're going to have one that resonates with you from each of the triads, which I didn't explain, but the Enneagram is broken up into three parts. And the triads are like heart, gut, and mind. And you will have one that resonates more than the others. So 7 is in the fear triad and 3 is in the heart triad. So you also probably have another number that would resonate to you in the head.
No, got it.
Gut.
Okay. So then how do you know which wing you are? Like if I'm an 8, cause I feel like I'm an 8 wing cause I'm always mm-hmm. like wanting, you know, to help. Like if I see an injustice, I'm always like, well, I need to help that person and what can I do and how do I, you know?
Yeah. Do you resonate more with the sentence, I am strong or I am reliable?
I am strong.
Yeah. I think that there are some personality types that seem to have like pairings with wings. And I think most 7s are wing 8 and I think most 9s are wing 1.
Got it.
And I think most 8s are wing 7 because 9 and 8 actually are kind of like a little bit opposite. It's rare. They're actually the rarest combo is 8 and 9.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder if that's, I mean, my husband gels so well because he's like a 8-7 and I'm a 7-8. Mm-hmm. So we kind of get each other. That's so cool. So if they want to learn more, they can read the book. They can go check out your Instagram. And do you use this when you're doing your life coaching?
I do not in a, I don't go through like an Enneagram curriculum or anything like that. I use it just to bring insight into what's happening. But I don't follow any sort of Enneagram stuff. I like to do more the transformational stuff.
Okay. Do you want to speak a little bit about the transformational life coaching that you do?
Yeah. So for what I personally do is I work with people to create something new in their life. So we pick a, you know, you may have goals, you may have things that aren't working, you may be super anxious, and we work to produce something in our life, something new, not like better, but new. And that looks like a character trait. So we, like right now, I just am finishing up a vision on I am responsible. And when we focus on one thing to develop, we don't have to worry about preventing things we don't like. So if it is, and it's amazing how many people work on a vision about I am connected, and then they find that they've lost weight, or they find, because they're actually producing something from a place of starting like who they are, and then from who they are, their actions begin to change, which is awesome, because then we don't have to manhandle our will. It's coming from a place where our brain goes, yep, nope, actually the best choice is something different, something new. So it's not like, strategy, strategy, strategy. It's actually the combo. It is working on who we are, and from a place of like a lot of grace and a lot of love, and accepting and producing something new. And then from that, we get a totally different set of results.
Wow. That's so exciting. Thank you so much, Jamie. If you want to find Jamie, you can either go to her Instagram, Jamie Gordon Life Coaching, or her website. And I will put all of that in our show notes, along with the book that she's talking about, the website to take the test that she's talking about, and where to find Jamie. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
We'll talk to you later.
Thank you for joining us in today's episode. If you liked the content and want to hear more, remember to hit that subscribe button and write a review. As a small business owner, I appreciate it more than you know. If you are looking for a program to help with self-confidence, to lose weight, get in shape, and work on your mental, physical, and emotional health, check out my training programs on www.bodybybrie.com. My team and I help to hold you accountable through the Body by Brie app, where you log in to see all your workouts, custom meal plan made specifically for you and your needs, and communication through the messenger. You are never alone when you're on the Body by Brie training program. Click the link in the show notes to get more information on how to transform your life from the inside out.